Hi, everybody.
Welcome back to Two Gays and a Digimon Podcast.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Adam.
And I'm gay.
And I'm also gay.
And when are we recording this, Adam?
On my birthday.
On your birthday! Happy birthday!
Happy birthday to me. I feel like that's relevant to this episode.
I think so, too.
I feel like we have a cat that has breached our security.
Oh, no. She got through the firewall.
She got through our firewall. She's broken into the digital world.
Even after Black War Greymon closed the gate.
Greymon closed the gate. So we've been gone for a little while, but we're back and we're covering the finale. All three episodes of the finale of Digimon Adventure 02, the English dub from Fox Kids. Not Four Kids, that's Pokemon.
It was quite a finale.
A lot happened.
A lot happened. I'm emotionally drained. I cried. You cried.
Hello, this is editing Adam here, and I just want to let you know that we're going to be seeing a lot of each other in this episode. I don't know what happened here, but we are going to move forward, and I just am telling you that I cried a lot at this finale over the many years that I've watched it, so no surprise there to anyone who's a long-time listener. I cried everything.
Many a time at this finale, so
this was my first time crying at this finale, but it was also my first time seeing it in any capacity.
Yeah, so it's quite emotional, I think.
It's, yeah, they, and we'll get into details, but they...
Well, do you want to get into those details right now?
Let's do it.
Okay, so we start off with episode 48, Oikawa Shame, or in Japanese, The Terror of Belial Vamdemon.
Belial?
Belial? Hmm. I don't know how to say it.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
It's like a demon from the Bible.
Oh.
No.
Okay, wait, that's... I have a point about that, but maybe we should get more into the episode before I say anything about that.
So we start off with the Cody recap, which RIP to Black War Greymon.
Mm-hmm. A real one.
The Dark Spore kids are gathering on a bridge in Heightened View Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
As the Digidestined observe.
And they're, like, creepily staring out into the distance.
Yeah, they're waiting for Oikawa
mm-hmm.
to take them to the digital world. And the plan was to go through Heightened View Terrace, but Black War Greymon sealed that gate.
Mm-hmm.
So Tai and Sora meanwhile, are observing Noriko, who, remember, got the Dark Spore flower harvested from her in the last episode.
Right, she was, like, kind of separated from the other Dark Spore kids.
Izzy stirs the pot about shipping.
He does.
With Matt being jealous of Tai and Sora being off together. Which I feel like is unnecessary and also weird.
Yeah, it was clearly like a plot contrivance thing to like...
I think once...
But then it doesn't really come back. I don't know.
I think once again, we are suffering from the original, like, season one, Digidestined needs something to do. And since Digimon is a show about kids growing up, it's like, okay, well, the next phase for the first gen Digidestined would be, like, dating and romance. And, like, obviously, because it's an anime and, like, they have this bond, they're all going to date each other, probably.
Yeah. And so. You know what else, though? I thought it was kind of weird that Izzy was the one, like, making that joke. Like, well, why aren't you jealous?
I don't think it's weird. Because I think, like, when I think of, like, the core friend group from that group.
I feel like it would have been Mimi.
Well, Mimi's not
there. She's not there, so they had Izzy do it. Because it makes more sense than Joe.
So, Izzy's mom calls him, and she comes to bring snacks to their stakeout.
She's so sweet. She calls them from, like, a phone booth, like, on the bridge below them.
Yeah. Well, she is a queen. Anyway, Kari ponders the fate of it all, and TK says, you just gotta believe.
Foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. Oikawa and mom and dad show up to do mischief.
Mom and Dad.
And Ken sees them briefly. We stan Mrs. Izumi, Izzy's mom, in this house.
Absolutely.
She offers to help rally all the Darkspore kids' parents
mm-hmm.
to maybe that they can help their own kids.
They can, like, reason with them or whatever.
Yeah. And she says that, like, maybe that's what she can do to
Hello, friends. I'm back. I said here that this is what Izzy's mom felt like she could do to help where all the other kids' parents are helping with, like, the investigation, who Oikawa is, like, where are these kids from? She would like to help contact the parents.
And the kids agree. Although, like, in the episode, I couldn't tell if it was being framed as, like, that's actually going to be helpful, or Izzy is just like, yeah, go do that so you're not... Because Izzy's kind of mean to his mom in this whole sequence.
Yeah, he is a little weirdly mean to... I think the idea is that Izzy's mom is, like, she's a little overbearing, but, like, in a sweet way.
Yeah.
So I think that he's just like, okay, mom, you're embarrassing me.
Yeah.
And we remain hopeful that things will turn out okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oikawa comes to collect the children.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the brilliant thought of, did he give them AIDS?
Yeah, that's kind of like the narrative metaphor happening. It's like,
it does feel...
Especially because they said, like, you can't touch those kids, and he says, I'll do whatever I want, or something like that, and it's like, yeah. Whoa, phrasing, guys!
Because we had the whole, like, revelation last time of, like, maybe Oikawa is, like, queer.
Yeah, he's definitely queer-coded, because, like, his whole thing with Cody's dad, Hiroki, is, like, feels like more than friends.
Yeah, they're definitely just a little bit more than friends.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Is how it's coded, but...
Mm-hmm. Cody.
Yeah. Cody. Oh.
Coded, oh, like, God. Like, is he named Cody because of, like, computer code?
I don't understand why they picked the names Cody and Yoli. Because, like, Davis's Japanese name is Daisuke, which, like, is kind of close to Davis. Some similar letters.
Yeah.
Yoli's Japanese name is Miyako.
Yes, they could have named her, like, Michelle. Or, like, well, Mickey.
Maybe they were worried about that being too similar to Mimi.
Oh, true, true, true.
And Cody's Japanese name is Iori.
I actually can kind of see that, because, like, it's, like, short and, like, has an O-E sound.
It must be, like, the syllables match.
Yeah.
For, like, the mouth.
That, too, I bet.
Anyway. Yeah, the dark spore thing feels like it is an AIDS metaphor, even though it's, like, not.
Yeah.
So, they are starting their... Oikawa's starting his quest to the digital world.
Yeah.
With the same puzzle that we saw in Mayurisman's castle in the first adventure.
I did not pick up on that at all. Oh my god, I didn't pick up on that until you just said it.
With the cards of the Digimon and stuff?
Yeah, I was like, oh, this looks cool. I thought it was like, oh, they have some, like, spin-off card puzzle game that they're, like, trying to push.
Okay, so when we get into the next season, Digimon Tamers, that whole thing is like a plug for the Digimon card game.
Got you.
Which, by the way, I started reading Digimon Liberator. It's very good. We stan.
I guess so.
So, they confront Oikawa.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken asks, why did you pick me? Why did you choose me to carry the Dark Spore?
Isn't that encoded?
Oikawa picked Ken because he was vulnerable.
And Oikawa could tell he was digi-destined.
He knew he was digi-destined, and he could control the darkness that was already inside of him from his brother's death.
Which was surprising to me, because Oikawa also knew another probable digi-destined, Cody, whose father had just died, and Oikawa had an in with him. Because he's like his father's best friend. Well,
because here's the thing, Cody is younger than the other kids, so maybe Cody wasn't born or was just a baby.
Well, they said it was 3 years ago. But he would have been, like, 4.
No. What happened 3 years ago was Mayotismon attacking the real world.
Oh, okay.
So.
Got you. Okay, my bad. So, yeah, Cody was probably
a little bit. I think Cody's dad died before that happened.
You're right. So. That would make sense.
And the control spires were to manipulate the borders of the digital world, but then, you know, the Digi-Destin came and ruined everything.
Yeah, which he wanted to make it weaker so he could take it over.
Rule both worlds.
Yeah.
So Oikawa has a little bit of a mentee bee.
He does.
And they start a creepy child chant where they're like, boys and girls, let's all go to the digital world. And let me tell you, it is no Ballad of the Witch's Road.
It's no Ballad of the Witch's Road.
That's my other obsession is Agatha all along.
Put Patti LuPone in Digimon.
Oh my god.
Patti LuPone as Izzy's mom.
She's been in cartoons before.
Like what?
She's in Steven Universe.
Work.
She plays one of the villains in Steven Universe.
A villain? Did you hear that?
So, Oikawa manages to open the gate to the digital world, which kind of makes Blackmore Greymon's sacrifice feel meaningless.
Yeah.
But...
kids are shocked because the kids are like, he's walking into our trap. Like, the gate's not going to open and we'll be able to attack him then. And then the gate does open.
That he's going to not be able to open it because of Blackmore Greymon sealing the gate, but he is able to open it.
And they're kind of shook. They're like, what?
They're like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. So, the O2 Digi-Destined follow.
As do Arakenimon and Mummymon.
Obviously.
But the 01,
the so like Matt and Joe and Izzy are left behind.
Yeah.
So they enter the digital world, or do they? They are in a mysterious other reality that's not the Dark Ocean, mm-hmm. which I kind of was hoping that, like, I mean, I knew where they were going, but I think, like, in our Adventure 2 rewrite that we've kind of been workshopping this whole time, mm-hmm. I think it would have been more cinematic to have this final confrontation in the Dark Ocean.
Yeah, instead of, like, a fourth different, like, world.
Which I guess...
Which they just call the Other World.
Yeah, I think it's called the World of Dreams. Like,
okay.
But
it reminded me of the that dimension at the end of season one that I can't remember, like the final boss that's like kind of disappointing.
Where they're like, where they fight Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
And they're just kind of floating in darkness.
Yeah, it kind of had a similar like art style.
Even that.
It was very like Salvador Dali.
Even that, I think. This was Salvador Dali. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think even that kind of space would have been a little bit more cohesive, but...
Yeah, because it at least would have been, like, a revisit.
Yeah. So... They're in this other reality, and a familiar voice starts talking to Oikawa.
Through, like, a creepy mouth.
Through a familiar creepy mouth.
I didn't realize how familiar it was until they revealed it.
So, Oikawa was manipulated by this voice. And we have a flashback to Oikawa watching the original Digidestined return to the digital world after they had defeated Venom Myotismon to go fight the Dark Masters. And he is, like, holding this picture of Cody's dad and saying, like, look, they're going. Take me with you. I don't want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm. It was very, very tragic.
Very tragic. Gatchomon recognizes the voice. It's Myotismon.
It's Myotismon. He's back. Guess who's back? Back again.
Bum, bum, ba, bum, bum, ba, da, bum. Who's been messing up everything? It's Myotismon all along.
Nice. Very good. Very good. Yeah, that had me jumping out of my seat.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming. But it makes so much sense. It's perfect. It's perfect.
So we learned that the Dark Rings that... Well, because Myotismon and Gatchomon got a... You know, Gatchomon, one thing, she's always ready to fight.
Oh, yeah. She's
and
down
this
for
is,
scrap.
This is her old boss.
Yeah.
Well, so the Dark Rings were based off of her tail ring that she lost in the first episode of this season.
That was the first episode of the season?
Yeah. And
oh my God, so long ago.
The dark spores are really energy to restore Myotismon.
Right.
And we see him separate from Oikawa.
Who he had been manipulating this whole time.
Yeah. And we enter Mallow Myotismon, or in the Japanese, Belial Vamdemon.
Mm. Very scary.
He's very scary.
And he's got, like, digi-armor. I don't, they don't say it's, like, an armor digivolution, but, like...
Well, he's... This
it kind of continues the theme of, like, all these armored
Well,
people.
He's more of an armored version of Myotismon than Venom Myotismon was.
Exactly.
But he picks up Arukenimon, and before... Because she's thinking that he's terrifying and that she wants to get away from him, he tortures her before granting her wish and destroying her. And it's kind of hard to watch.
It's really hard to watch. It's like he's like hitting her with his like stinger or whatever, and there's like flashes of red across the screen that's making it look like blood and stuff like that, and her wish is to get as far away from him as possible, and his interpretation of that is ending her life.
Yeah.
Which, keep going, because I want to talk about...
Yeah, you did just repeat what I just said.
But... I know, but I...
It's fine. We got time to kill, baby! It was sad, because you had said before that you hoped that this didn't end with Arukenimon and Mummymon dying. But the next thing that happens is Mummymon is devastated at the loss of his beloved Arukenimon. And he tries to avenge her, but it's no use, and he is killed as well.
And it's rough. Like, he says something like, I'll show you to fear me, and it, like, doesn't work. Nothing, yeah. It messed me up because, like, even though they were villainous, they were also being manipulated.
And they weren't even really Digimon, because they were kind of created from Oikawa. Like, we wanted that we kind of wanted to see them be redeemed, like how Black were Greymon and how Ken were.
Yeah.
You know? And I kind of wish that they were. Maybe in our O2 rewrite, we'll see that, like, you know, when it's time for the final battle and everyone is powered up and whatever, we see, like, the illusion of Arukenimon and Mummymon behind Imperial Dramon, and they lend them the last of their power.
Yeah, they also, like, at least Mummymon, like, cared about Arukenimon a whole lot.
And I think that she cared about Mummymon, too.
Yeah, so it was
It was
unsettling.
It is a disturbing part of this finale to me, and it is very sad. And it feels almost out of the spirit of Digimon Adventure 02.
I think so, too, because I thought this episode was very harrowing overall. I thought that was, like, the peak of it. I think the other thing about it that messed me up is since we cosplayed them for Halloween last year, it was like a little bit, like, obviously I know you're not Arukenimon and I'm not Mummymon.
No, but
it did kind of, like, feel like that for, like, a second.
We have that attachment to them because we've been calling them Mom and Dad this whole time. Like,
yeah,
we really like them, and it's sad. And I've always really liked Arukenimon. I mean, I was obsessed with her. She's the first real female villain in Digimon.
Yeah. I kind of see why it happened. I didn't think it I don't know if it needed to happen in the way that it happened so permanently.
Well, what is upsetting to me is that when the other Digimon die, for the most part, we see them become a Digi-Egg again.
Yeah, this is...
So it would have been at least a little bit more comforting to see, like, a red and purple and, like, a white and...
Blue
Digi-Egg, like, send off into the sky at the end. So we, like, we'll know that, oh, they'll be reborn again someday, and maybe they'll get to be good Digimon this time.
Yeah. I didn't like seeing her so scared.
You know, it was hard because she hasn't been scared the whole time.
No. And, like, I get that it was, like, and we'll talk about this more, but, like, it was to show the Malamirismon strength and to, like, temporarily, like, dislodge the belief and hope that the Digidestined have in their own abilities and their partner's abilities.
Yeah.
But I think, I guess I just wish, I don't know if this would have been better for the plot, but it's what I would have wanted because I like these characters. I wish it had been more of, like, he, like, really badly injures them and they're, like, down for the count, but they're not, like, murdered.
I think there's a reason they have to die.
I kind of agree with you. It's just in my head agrees with you, but my heart...
I know. Well, that's what I said. I wish that they had just turned into Digi-Eggs.
Yeah, that would have been nice. To show that they were real Digimon all... They were real Digimon
all along. They were real Digimon all along.
That would have been nice.
So, the Digidestined are paralyzed with fear at the thought of losing their own Digimon partners in the same way, but not Davis and XVmon.
No.
They are
unflappable.
Unflappable. Unsinkable Davis Monomia. So you just gotta believe in the power of friendship. And they have to mask their fears to defeat Malamiotismon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the episode ends. The next episode is episode 49, The Last Temptation of the Digidestined, or The Last Armor Evolution in Japanese.
Very, very biblical name.
I have to start with, fuck off, TK, with this recap. Davis has been awesome. Because they are giving Davis so much shit because he is, like, the only one who's not scared. And he's, like, making a lot of sense to everybody. And they're like, wow, Davis really is brave. And he really is cool. And I'm like, where have you guys been? He's been like this for the past 20 episodes.
Yeah, he had a bit of a turnaround.
No, he didn't. It was not a sharp turn. It was gradual.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, God, I cannot, rewatching this now, I really liked TK and Kari when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, fuck off. Like, I don't, you're so mean to Davis.
I think what also helped Davis was, like, Ken kind of more and more became, like, another protagonist.
Well, again, we've learned that there was a division in the writer's room of, do we want TK to be the rival, kind of second in command, or do we want Ken?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it should have been that TK was the leader and Davis was the deuteragonist,
the second. Yeah, the heart of it all.
Yeah. Well, the yeah. So Right, we have a cat trying to...
Cat scratch fever.
Disturb the recording. So, we start with an old-fashioned Donnybrook. Eximon and Davis's willpower stands up to Malamiotismon. But Malo, which I think now I had a thought that if Davis had his own crest, I think that tenacity or willpower would be the name of his crest.
Mm-hmm.
So, just a thought.
I like that.
Malamiotismon casts an attack that shows the Digidestin's greatest desires or greatest, like, fears or whatever. So TK's family is reunited, which I'm like, oh, that's sad, you know, because he's a child of divorce and, like, he... But they didn't do a good job leading up to this, in my opinion. Because, yeah, we had some notions about TK and Matt being children of divorce in the first season. But it kind of felt like they came beyond that when, like, Matt learned that, like, oh, just because TK is my little brother doesn't mean that I need to, like, hover over him all the time. And, like, he is capable of doing things by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've seen that TK has kind of got a lot of trauma. But the trauma seems to be more related to his time in the digital world than his time with his divorced parents.
Yeah.
Also, it is very... I mean, I get it because they have two kids. So, like, obviously one parent would take one kid and one parent would take the other. But they are both boys. And you are telling me that that mom raised a son all by herself? It's a lot of... I mean, I feel like... I mean, it makes sense to me. I'm just saying, like, poor Nancy.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So...
She's a saint.
Yoli gets all the dessert. Because, once again, she's a girl. And so she doesn't really get the same emotional depth that the others do. And, like, she's not the right type of girl for this narrative, like... how they want us to think of Kari.
Oh, I interpreted it differently.
I think that we can get to it in a minute, but I think we had that emotional moment with TK, and then next beat, we're supposed to, like, laugh at Yoli's greatest desire being a table full of dessert.
Yeah.
So, Cody gets to show his dad the digital world, which this got us messed up.
Really bad. Really bad.
It's so sad. Like, because Cody is so young, he's only supposed to be, like, 8 years old.
Yeah.
And he...
is so excited to show
his dad. He's so excited to show his dad the digital world, and all he wants is to do is have his dad meet Armadillomon.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then Kari dreams of a peaceful world full of Digimon and humans living together in harmony. Mm-hmm. The Digimon break them out of the spell.
Mm-hmm.
While Davis fights the good fight. So now we can get into it. Yoli's illusion is deeper than what we thought. It has to do with, like, her brothers and sisters not being there, her being the youngest child.
Mm-hmm.
So they did not do a good job of setting up...
No, they really didn't.
Yoli's kind of trauma, because I said it earlier, there was a character that was with June in, like, a scene in an earlier episode that I've never even realized in my many rewatches of this is one of Yoli's sisters.
Yeah.
So, like, we should have gotten a little bit more of Yoli with her family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this would have made a little bit more of an impact.
Yeah.
Because it does. It gives, like, the platitude of, I love my brothers and sisters even though they irritate me. But we haven't really seen Yoli's brothers and sisters that much.
No. And we haven't seen them, like, really be problems for her.
Yeah.
I think, I don't like this. But I think kind of what they're trying to do is show us that Yoli is more of a selfish character. Like, her illusion revolves around her as opposed to, like, her and someone else.
She's not the correct type of woman for this genre, like a Kari or a Sora.
Yeah.
She's brash, loud, intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she's an icon. Stand a woman in STEM.
Yeah, I do too. I don't like that they did this, but I think like the selfishness is, like, kind of the angle
they I think that also it's not selfishness, it's that she's the youngest of, like, five kids.
Yeah.
Which is a big family.
Yeah.
And so it's, I didn't get the attention that I needed. Yeah. I don't get my own, probably don't get my own clothes. I probably don't get, you know, my own things. I probably have to share a room with my two sisters or whatever. Yeah. Like, so that to me would be more something like showing that, like, in one of the episodes where they just started off with the kids in the real world and it's like a weekend or whatever, mm-hmm. show that Yoli is like locked outside the bathroom because her brother's taken forever in the bathroom.
Yeah, so something as simple as that.
Showing that like she has to share a room with her two sisters. Like,
you know what else is weird about it too? Mm-hmm. They have that thing where they say like Yoli's like, I love my brothers and sisters. I don't actually want to lose them. Mm-hmm. All the other illusions are things the kids actually want and are reasonable to want. Like, it makes, like, TK actually wants his family back together. Cody actually wants his dad to be alive. So, Kari actually wants, like, a peaceful digital
world. I think that there's nuance. I think that, because Digimon is about growing up, mm-hmm. where, like, I think Pokemon is, like, a utopia. You know, there's kind of an essence of, like, childhood whimsy forever in Pokemon, mm-hmm. which I also love. We stand whimsy in this house.
Absolutely.
So I think that it's kind of got to be a realization of, for TK, I would love for my family to be back together, but I know that it is better for my parents that they're not together.
Okay.
For Yoli, my brothers and sisters are very annoying, and I wish I kind of got my own independence, but I love them. And I think for Cody, it's got to be, my dad was taken from me because his dad was killed in the line of duty. Mm-hmm. My dad was taken from me, but I know a part of him will always be with me. And he even shares, I can't share this world and this life with my dad, but I'm going to share it with my mom. Mm-hmm. Which I think is nice, but I'm also like, what about Grandpa?
Yeah, what about Grandpa?
Yeah.
He's a king.
Grandpa is the adult character in this kind of timeline that I wish got a Digimon partner. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of felt that way about Matt and TK's dad in the first season, where I'm like, oh, there is probably a separate timeline universe where he gets partnered with Wizardmon. Mm-hmm. And then in this one, I feel like Cody's grandfather gets partnered with Blackmore Greymon.
So then we exit the interior Illusions Lounge.
We leave the interior.
At the gold bar.
We see Flamedramon come to get Cody.
This confused me, yeah. I mean, so, I figured it out.
But then we go to Kari's dream, and I do not like that Kari is last in this kind of group. I think that that is just stupid. I think that her dream is nice, but I think ultimately it's not really saying a lot about her other than, once again, Kari is the perfect angel woman. Mm-hmm. And, of course, her dream is world peace.
Yeah.
I think Cody should have been last of this grouping. Actually, I think Kari should have been first.
Yeah.
Kari, TK, Yoli, Cody. So, back in the world of dreams, Gatchaman roasts her old boss. Calls him lazy. Mm-hmm. So, and then we go to Ken's illusion, where we see him as the Digimon Emperor, crucified.
Yeah. Crucifixion.
As Digimon seek their revenge on him.
Which, can I bring up a theme here while we're... So, the crucifixion is happening. This episode is called The Last Temptation of the Digidestined. You said the Japanese name for Malamiotismon is like a biblical reference. And it got me thinking about how biblical this whole season is,
well, as a whole. I think there's a huge biblical vibe. Because, I mean, it is very good versus evil.
Yeah, but there's like even like more, like Oikawa as like a false prophet, like leading his disciples down the path of evil, and like he's trying to corrupt the digital world, which is like very like a Garden of Eden type narrative of like Satan corrupting the garden with Adam and Eve. It's like there's
TK and Kari.
This is the like raised Catholic in me jumping out on this podcast for the first time probably. But yeah, there's like a ton. I mean, like obviously like Angemon and Anjuamon are biblical figures.
They're Adam and Eve.
A lot of like the imagery of like, even, like, the eggs, like, with the scripture on them and stuff like that, and, like, the tablets that get shot out and things like that. It looks like ancient, like, biblical world stuff.
Yeah, even Pegasusmon and Nefertimon are very angelic.
Yeah.
So...
And Shikuamon, I think, also has, like, kind of a
He's a
biblically accurate angel kind of vibe.
Well, he's an ancient doll.
Oh, right.
An ancient doll.
Ancient doll. So yeah, I'm sure if we went back and watched it again, I'd pick up on more of it now that I'm like looking for it.
I mean, there's plenty of I think what it is that the first 13 episodes, the first arc of Digimon Adventure 1 is the kids, learning the kind of ropes of the digital world. And in the end of that arc, an angel defeats the devil.
From the devil from the Bible.
The devil from the Bible. The Devimon from Defile Island. So, I think there's always been a biblical thing going with Digimon.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's very black and white of good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
But then we see that sometimes evil is not bad, it's just different from good. Because we see Gatomon was evil. And Wizardmon. And Ogremon. So. Another thing that made me mad in this is that we never got to see Leomon come back.
Yeah.
So, in Ken's illusion, his brother Sam invites him to stay with him in the in this realm forever. But Wormmon is there to free him from this illusion, along with everybody else, finally cementing how much they believe and need Ken, which I thought was nice.
Yeah.
So we see they're back. They're all in this twisted Salvador Dali dimension. And Flamedramon, Ragermon, and XVmon are all fighting Malamiotismon.
Which I was like, whoa.
And it's because Davis wished for them to be there. So XVmon could be stronger.
He just had to believe in the heart of the cards.
Believe in the power of the armor Digimon.
Yeah.
Which is why this episode is probably called The Last Armor Evolution. Because it is the last time we're going to see the armor evolution.
Yeah.
So everybody digivolves to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. While they say a little prayer for you.
Yeah, which also biblical. They were holding
their digivices, and they were kind of saying their greatest wish.
Yeah,
for the battle.
It was also given Dragon Tales. I wish with all my heart to fly with Digimon in the land apart.
Biblical.
Yeah. Wait, what if Dragon Tales is that is the digital world?
Mm-hmm.
Concepts crossover.
So everybody digivolves to everything. Everyone gets their own digivolution. It's we get to see Pegasusmon, Angemon, and Magna Angemon.
Mm-hmm.
Halsamon, Aquilamon, and Shurimon.
Hello, friends. We do also get to see Ankylomon, Digmon, Samarimon, Pegasusmon, all of the digivolutions, even Angemon and stuff. It's pretty awesome.
It's here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Digimon Ultimate.
And then they're kicking old boy's ass.
Oh, yeah.
They are beating him up.
Yeah.
And we see a sick combo from Anjuamon and Nefertimon.
It's pretty sick.
Where Nefertimon's Rosetta Stone! And she, shoots her big tablet out. And then, Anjuamon's Celestial Arrow! And she shatters the tablet into a million
spikes,
pointy rocks. And he's ah! It's awesome.
It's really cool.
So then it's time to DNA Digivolve and Mega Digivolve. And Davis's tenacity makes him immune to Malamiotismon's fear tactics.
And don't forget his bullheadedness.
And wait until you see his bullheadedness, is what Davis says about himself.
Goofball.
So they blast Malamiotismon out of the world of dreams and into the digital world.
Dun, dun, dun! Which I thought was the Dark Ocean, but it was just kind of the digital world, but at night.
Oh, you know what would have been kind of interesting is if they went from the world of dreams into the Dark Ocean, then in from the Dark Ocean into the digital world. It.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. Just because we didn't get any closure with the Dark Ocean, it just is frustrating.
We get one throwaway line and that's it.
Yeah.
Which we'll explain later.
So, Malamiotismon's power grows as Kari is overwhelmed by the darkness. Things are looking not good.
Not good.
As he is able to, best Shakuamon, Sylphimon, and Imperial Dramon.
Yeah, this was his plan all along.
So Malamanus 1 spreads darkness throughout the digital world and crosses over into the human world.
Yeah, he opens up a gate or something.
And what they really need is a miracle.
Sorry, that's what Davis says?
And that's, yeah, so, and I kind of was like, you know, Davis, you are missing a Digivolution here. He's missing Magnemon, who was Vimon's form with the Digiego Miracles.
Oh, yeah.
So, A Million Points of Light is the name of episode 50,
mm-hmm.
or Our Digital World.
So good.
Which I kind of, I like both titles, but I think A Million Points of Light is a little bit more hardcore.
Yeah, I think so too.
So, this starts off with a Davis recap, which to me is fitting for the final episode. I love Davis so much. This whole rewatch has really turned me around on Davis. I love him. I think he's a great character. I think he's fun. I think he's, I like him way much more than I like Ty.
Mm-hmm.
So, the OG kids are in the real world that is shrouded in darkness. And then we come back to the digital world, and the Digimon are back up. They're not ready to give up yet. But the Dark Spore kids are full of...
despair!
As they watch the battle. Then the O2 kids give them a rousing speech of, like, you know, enough of this feeling sorry for yourself. It's time to get up and do something.
It's like nobody wants to get up and fucking work.
Yeah. So, in the real world, Izzy's mom assembled everyone at the summer camp where they first went into the digital world.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to save Noriko, who has been not feeling well since her dark spore was harvested. And so they need to get into the digital world, but the original Digidestined kids are like, well, we don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. Back in the digital world, the Darkspore kids are still despond. And then in the real world, Izzy sees that the digital gates are opening across the globe. It's Mimi, bitch!
It's me. It's boom, 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 boom,
our last It's Mimi, bitch.
Wait, we forgot something.
What?
When they were talking about Noriko and showing all the parents, we forgot.
Oh, no, we didn't. No, we're not there yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everyone.
So, the power of friendship brings out the light as all of the Digidestined and their Digimon enter the battle.
Around the world.
Around the world.
All the ones we visited on the Digimon World Tour. Yeah.
And we see as the original Digidestined plus Noriko
mm-hmm.
enter the digital world. That the families believe in their children.
Yeah.
And we get the final... Bitch, that's June! I wish that she had said something.
I know.
I'm kind of surprised that she didn't. Wait, and I also think that there is a parallel universe where June is a Digidestined.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think even necessarily... Wow.
Actually, it is this universe. It's canonical.
So. Yeah.
I would like to think she gets, like, a water Digimon.
Yes.
So, the Dark Spore Kid's negativity is powering Malamiotismon. So I've just abbreviated it as, in my notes. And the Digidestined give another inspiring speech to the Dark Spore Kids, telling them not to give up on their dreams. And everybody shares their dreams of what they would like to be. Like, you know, they say, you know, Davis wants to open a noodle cart.
Yeah, which I was shocked it wasn't soccer player, but go off, King.
Kari wants to be a kindergarten teacher.
She can find more kids to bully.
Oh, yeah, I know. She's just so perfect.
And that's also what Noriko wants, which is like, okay, Kari, copycat.
Yeah, just steal Noriko's dream, I guess.
Yeah.
And other kids say that they want to draw comic books and they want to
be a baseball player
or open their own bakery. And, mm-hmm. and as they're achieving, as they're shouting out what their dreams are, Malamiotismon is disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
He's not powerful anymore now that the kids are starting to believe in themselves and have hope for the future.
Yeah.
So, once again, they just gotta believe.
The power of friendship.
And they get, the Darkspore kids get partner Digimon. All little babies.
Yeah.
Little babies. And
they're all so cute.
They get their own Digivices, and everybody uses their Digivice to get... Oh, I will say, the Digimon, they know, the Digimon that says that the calls out for their old, for their partner, of like, oh, I need your help to do this, is Palmon calls for Mimi.
They know.
And Mimi says, I'm right there with you, Palmon. And then she's right, she is right there with her.
They know that people crave Mimi content.
They know that people are, they're, I mean, name a badder bitch than Mimi.
I can't.
So. They use the Digivices to get rid of the darkness five ever. That's what I wrote.
Five ever. Yeah. Including my Malamyotismon.
They destroy Malamyotismon's darkness completely.
Which, like, get wrecked, scrub.
Yeah. And then Genai returns, and he has Gatomon's tail ring. And he explains that the other realm was the, has the power to grant dreams. And we see that Cody is trying to get Oikawa's body, who he's very weak, but he's totally trying to help him get up and get into the digital world so he can achieve his dream of going there.
Because Cody is the ultimate, like,
yeah,
optimist. Like, he always sees the good in people.
Yeah, maybe optimism is Cody's crest.
I think so.
I think Yoli's is passion.
Hmm.
This is a really emotional part.
This is a tearjerker.
We get to meet Oikawa's partner Digimon, Datirimon, who is a cute little berry.
The cutest Digimon I've ever seen.
And I think this is why Mom and Dad had to die, because they were not really meant to be his partners.
You're so right.
He was
that
meant
makes it hurt worse!
To be partners
no!
with Datirimon.
Adam, no, don't do that to me.
So Oikawa sees the digital world, but he's dying. He is, the power of Malamyotismon was too much for his body and to take anymore, and he is dying.
Yeah, Genai says it. He doesn't have long left.
He uses, because he's not quite in the digital world yet, but he's still in the world of dreams, and he uses that world's power to grant his last wish to help heal and protect the digital world.
Yeah.
And that he will always be a part of the digital world. And that's the end.
Yeah, he like turns into he like turns butterflies. Into
a bunch of butterflies, which maintains Digimon Adventure's butterfly motif. I'm sure that in the Japanese version it plays the song Butterfly at this part.
Yeah. Which I was thinking, I was a little sad we didn't get one final like they're going digital! Or, like, any of the other, like, pop punk.
I think that we should have gotten, like, a... Da, 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 da,
we should have.
Da, 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 which we might have, but it might have been really quiet.
Yeah, or we might have been crying too loud for us to notice. So,
then we get an epilogue.
We do get an epilogue.
Narrated by TK, 25 years after the ending of the Battle with Malamyotismon. And it's 25 years later, and now everybody knows about Digimon. And the worlds are kind of merging together in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And we see, just like, did you notice how this is how this season started? Was with a catch-up with TK of what everyone's been up to.
Oh.
Since their last adventure in the digital world. And now we're seeing what they're up to now through TK.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think, again, to me is lending that TK should be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. So TK has become an author, and he is writing about their adventures in the digital world.
Yeah. He's like his dad, kind of, because his dad's a journalist.
Yeah. Well, his mom's a journalist.
His mom's a journalist. His dad's like a TV editor.
TV anchor or whatever. Yeah. So Tai and Agumon have become diplomats.
And Agumon just a cute little tuxedo bow tie.
Little suit, yeah. Matt and
they're diplomats. Advocating for relations between the real world and digital world, yeah. Which is even cooler.
Matt and Gabumon became astronauts.
Which I didn't like that. That felt out of place. It felt too goofy to me. He should have been a musician.
I'm not crazy about it either. And I think this has been a point of contention because now we're seeing in like Digimon Adventure Tri and Last Evolution Kizuna and Digimon 02 The Beginning, that these kind of movies where they're all older, that Matt is leaning away from music and more into this world of science and space exploration. And I think that it once again is relating to Digimon being a story about growing up, where he like kind of was like, well, my rock star dreams are not working out, and like I'm really interested in space. Mm-hmm. So, like, now I'm pursuing that path. Mm-hmm. Sora and Biomon are fashion designers.
Love that.
And Biomon says their new collection is to die for.
Love that, even though it feels more Mimi than Sora to me.
Well, I think
Sora's mom does, like, something like that.
But we saw Sora in this season kind of became more feminine.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's about growing up. She was a tomboy when she was a kid, but now she's a woman. Mm-hmm. She's a woman. And she is, I think it's more that she does like traditional Japanese fashion. She's wearing a kimono in the still.
Yeah.
And we're seeing this as everybody is meeting up with all of their children, because now they have kids.
In the digital world.
And they're in the digital world, and their kids have Digimon.
Yeah.
Which I think is cute. Joe is the first digital world's doctor.
Yeah, silly.
And it shows him patching up Ogremon.
Very cute.
I think it would have been nice to have him, like, patching up Ogremon and Leomon, who,
yes,
because it's on site.
Because they got in a scruff.
Mimi hosts her own cooking show.
Absolutely. It's the only time she takes off her hat.
And she's still dressed for the Pink Pony Club.
Absolutely.
Izzy and his daughter have their own kind of tech language, and they are studying. He's studying the digital world still. Mm-hmm. Kari became a teacher because she actually likes being in school. Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that great? Especially a girl liking learning. Yeah. What?
But Kari's. But you know what it is? Kari's a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
And kindergarten is like where you kind of learn all these
Social skills
and like learning to share and be kind. And I was like, well, Kari wouldn't know how to be kind if it bit her in the foot. You know, I'm sorry. This rewatch.
She was kind to the oh my god, I'm getting their names. The little Goomon guys in season one.
Yeah, well, I
and then it just went out the window.
Kari, but then like I think it's the writing that makes her, like, keeps Davis with as this goofy character who like everyone's mean to. But to me, I'm like, well, Kari shouldn't be being mean to him if we're supposed to think she's the goddess, kind of, so.
Yeah.
But Yoli and Ken are married.
That had me shook to my core, in a good way.
I
really liked it.
Yoli is a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. But I would like to think that she's there living above her parents' convenience store that she runs now.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
And Ken is a police officer.
He's a detective.
He's a detective, which is completely based off of Kamen Rider.
What is that?
Another Japanese TV show, the tokusatsu, with guys in the suits.
Oh.
Where there is a Kamen Rider character that looks like Stingmon.
Oh.
And he teams up with a private detective whose name is Ken Ichijo.
What? Yeah. It was that deep a reference the whole time? Yeah. That's nuts.
Silphimon is also based off of Kamen Rider.
Huh.
So, Cody is a defense attorney. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
oh. He's gone through 100 briefcases.
Cody Hida, ace attorney.
Yes.
He's gone through 100 briefcases because Armadillomon keeps sitting on them.
So silly.
And Davis has opened his noodle cart, and it's very successful.
The first one is now it's a franchise around the world.
Yeah.
Noodles, noodles, come get your noodles.
Yeah, which is an amazing title for a company.
So silly. How do you fit that on a sign? That's so many letters.
It must be because, like, the Japanese is, like, not as
long. Oh, yeah, it's just, like, 8 kanji or whatever.
So, that's the end. And I will say that growing up in the Digimon fandom, this ending was very controversial.
Really?
Yeah, people did not like it. And
they really wanted, because they wanted the season 3 of these characters.
I think it's because of things like well, you have the shipping between Ty and Ty, Matt, and Sora. Like,
true, and then that never goes anywhere.
And it kind of, well, it definitely is heavily implied that Matt and Sora are married and have children together.
Oh.
Because they're right next to each other, and the kid that looks like Matt says to Sora that he'll keep an eye on the kid who looks like Sora that Matt is, like, talking to.
Oh, maybe.
And then...
It's weird that they would mention it explicitly for Joe and... Or for Yoli and Ken and not for them.
Well, you know what I think it is that Yoli has been boy crazy and, like, romantic this whole time.
That's true.
And she did get to get married to Ken. And that is cute, I think.
It's
her,
very cute.
Her bisexual king, Ken Ichijoji.
Oh my god.
And... I wasn't crazy about this ending, too. You know, I was of a mind that I had my own pairings and my own ships, and now I think differently, and I think this is a good ending. I was working on my own fan fiction that was a little bit... The one part I still don't like is that the kids... I don't really love everybody knowing about Digimon.
Yeah.
I think that, like, the government becoming aware... I think the government becoming aware about Digimon and Ty working with the government to, like, foster relations between the digital world is cool. I think Izzy still researching the digital world. I even think Joe being a doctor for Digimon is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love that all of the children just have the same Digimon that their parents did.
Oh, honestly, I was, like, so overwhelmed, I didn't even know.
And I
that.
Totally get it, because it's, like, they're not going to design unique Digimon just to be seen in this
one
clip, but...
I think it would have been better, controversial, maybe, if that scene had been them finding, like, the eggs, and we didn't see what the eggs hatched
into.
Well,
maybe, yeah, In our rewrite. Yeah, would you... Who are you shipping as being married in the end? Because I have ideas.
I think... I mean, obviously Yoli and Ken.
Yeah. They're the one that I'm, like, strong on.
Honestly, the Matt Sora tie thing doesn't feel that compelling to me. Because it doesn't really feel like any of them actually have that much chemistry. It just feels like the two main boys and the main girl from season one. So naturally, there has to be a love triangle. That's kind of how it feels to me.
So
I would say Joe and Mimi still.
So my initial thought was, I was like, well, Ty's got to get married to Sora, and Matt's got to get married to Mimi. But then I was like, Matt and Mimi have no interactions.
Yeah, I think Joe and Mimi.
Here's my thoughts. Here's the breakdown. Matt and Sora.
Okay.
TK and Kari, but now they're divorced.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't really think about Kari, actually.
I wish I could forget. I'm sorry. She's fine. Yoli and Ken. Mimi and Izzy.
Interesting. Okay.
They introduce a girl in Tri that is clearly supposed to be Ty's love interest.
Okay.
And I think Joe and June...
Okay.
I wish June had been there as Joe's wife.
That's interesting. Okay. Because
I'm like, the only people that I could see Matt marrying are either Sora or June.
Yeah.
Maybe TK and Kari can stay married.
Maybe this is boring, but I kind of thought a lot of them had spouses that just weren't in the show. Like, they hadn't met them as kids.
I don't know if you saw the kids.
But they all kind of
They
look
all
like,
look like each other.
Yeah.
Like, they all look like...
Mashups of each other.
The only one that doesn't is Cody has a daughter that looks just like him. And we don't really see Cody with another character.
Yeah, I don't ship Cody with anyone in the cast.
My ship was Cody and Rosa, because they were, like, around the same age.
Oh, maybe.
But now I'm thinking Cody and... The two that I don't know are Cody and Davis.
Yeah.
I shipped Davis with Noriko for a little while.
I was thinking about Noriko.
And Cody with another one of the Dark Spore kids.
Huh.
But.
So, can I give some thoughts on this finale?
Your final thoughts.
So, I liked this finale a lot better than the season. Okay. The season one final episode, where they're, like, saying goodbye or whatever, is amazing.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, like, that whole episode is kind of like an epilogue. The finale, like, arc of Apocalypse, super out of nowhere, super rushed, anticlimactic, like, here's the big bat, here's the big actual final boss, big actual final plan, oh, JK, he's gone. They kind of did that a little bit this time with Malamayor's gone.
I think
it's better because it's two episodes, because we know that he's been channeling Oikawa this whole time. Also, because it's a callback to Myotismon.
The best villain from the first season.
Yeah. It feels more... I think also knowing that it's, like, the final adventure, like, it's not... Like, season one, the finality of that, like, epilogue episode where they're saying goodbye is cheapened a little bit by knowing that Zero Two is coming and that the characters, like, are present there. So it's not, like, goodbye, goodbye. Where this is actually goodbye, so I think it has more impact there.
Well, this is not goodbye, goodbye.
But it's like...
But it definitely feels that way because there is such a huge gap in this finale airing and the premiere of Digimon Adventure Tri.
Yeah, and it's also, they've done a 25-year time skip. So, like, the point of that is like, okay, well, so that's kind of like all you need to know about these kids' childhood. Yeah.
What I do... Sorry, not to cut you off or anything.
No, it's okay.
What I do like is that, you know, adult TK says that they're still having adventures, but not like the ones that they have when they were kids. And I was like, you know, maybe today, because I've turned 33, and thank you. I grew it myself. I think, you know, I kind of got in this like vibe of like, well, I'm old now because I am way older than any Digimon protagonist has ever been, for the most part. And I, you know, grown-ups aren't allowed in the digital world or whatever. You know, that kind of like thing of like, oh, I'm too old to be delving into this fantasy.
Yeah.
But there's still time to have adventures, even though I'm approaching my mid-30s.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it warmed my heart to hear that today, so.
Yeah. I think there are some little things, maybe they're not little, but there are some things in this episode that I think help tie it together in a more cohesive way. Like, I don't know if, you might have mentioned this when you were explaining it, and I might have missed it, but because Black Wargreymon closed the gate in Tokyo, where the season one kids and the parents are all gathered in order to get back into the digital world is the, like, snowy mountain where they first entered the digital world. It's the summer camp. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, that is very much, like, a full circle moment. Yeah. It being Myotismon again is full circle.
They fully intended this to be the end.
Yeah. Like, but it feels like more... It feels more prepared and more deliberate than the Apocalypse thing, which felt like we need one more episode.
Absolutely.
So I guess I can see why it's controversial from a fandom perspective, because like the shipping element of it and stuff like that. From a narrative perspective, I think this blows the season one wrap up out of the water. I think
it's controversial because of the era. You know, like early internet, people arguing on forums about stuff.
That makes sense.
I don't think it's really that controversial anymore. Now that I'm older.
Yeah.
I think of it as like, I kind of wish that... I think the biggest disappointment is not pursuing some career in entertainment and music.
Yeah. I think so too.
I think Matt even growing up to be like a tour manager or something.
I just had a thought that...
Or managing a younger kid's band.
Okay, here's my thought. I don't want to make you cry. You know how TK and Matt's whole thing was like they missed each other because they didn't get to spend a lot of time together because of the divorce? What if they like wrote the books together? Yeah, like something like that where like they're...
Matt is now working with those camera guys that keep reappearing.
Yeah. So are we talking about the season as a whole?
I think we can. Why not?
Yeah. So, I think, ultimately, and I want to hear your thoughts, but you have seen each of these several times. So, I think, ultimately, I liked this better than season one. I think it is much more of a narrative season than season one, which is much more of like a Saturday morning cartoon, like flavor of the week. It still has a narrative arc.
Yeah, but I think that this still has elements of the new bad guy every week, you know, new challenge to face. But I think that there's something that feels more grand.
It's more, about there's the more characters. And I think, and
I do think that it is really, because it was probably meant to be the finale to this universe. Like,
yeah.
Because Tamers is not in the same universe.
Right.
We'll see some homages to Digimon Adventure in Tamers.
Yeah, but it would be hard for them to, like, do a season like Tamers if everyone knows about the digital world. Like, it is so regulated.
Know. You don't even know, yeah.
True.
So,
but...
I like I've been saying, I really love this season. I love these characters. Like I've been saying, like, I don't really view them as like children almost. It's like, this is my childhood friend Davis.
Yeah.
And I think that this was really fitting to watch on my birthday, because I think, you know, I've been, you know, full like transparency, I've been feeling really depressed lately. And, hearing them shout about believing in your dreams and, you know, the only person that can stop your dreams is you. And I was like, that's true. You know, and I was like, okay, I needed my old friends, the DigiDestined, to tell me that. So,
yeah.
But I think this has been a great season. I have really loved talking about it with you and showing it to you.
Aw, shucks.
Even though we've had some ups and downs and we've been through it with our recording process. And
yeah, and the freaking dark ocean. Oh yeah, there was like one line about like, maybe if the world of dreams can grant wishes, maybe the dark ocean makes your fears reality or something. I'm like, yeah, okay, so whatever.
Stupid.
Guys, get out of here, dark ocean.
And we don't even see the conclusion to the dark ocean until Digimon Adventure Try.
I don't care. Like,
I think that, you know, we definitely noticed that overall, the structure was more compelling of 02 as opposed to Digimon Adventure, because Digimon Adventure, there's clear beats. We have the coming to the digital world, meeting the Digimon, everybody digivolves to champion, we defeat Devimon.
Yeah.
Then we can't go home yet, we gotta find the tags and the crests, and we gotta go to the other continent, and we gotta defeat Edamon, who's a little bit more silly than Devimon, but still scary.
Yeah.
And then we gotta learn about the incursions of the digital world and the real world.
Yeah.
And then it's time for Myotismon. He's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, okay, we're protecting the real world and the digital world from Myotismon. And then it's the Dark Masters, which I think is very rushed.
Super rushed.
Yeah, I think everything up to Myotismon in the first adventure is tight. It's a good narrative.
Yeah.
And then we defeat Myotismon, and it's... Okay, the Dark Masters are here.
Yeah.
And we're going to defeat them in, like, you know, a long weekend.
Yeah.
That feels very rushed. And then Apocalypse does come out of nowhere. I think almost for that, it would have been better for us to learn about Apocalypse up front.
That's what I was going to say, is I think that's what I like about season two, is even if there is an element of like monster of the week, it's usually tied to a villain that we know, like the Digital Emperor,
yeah, there's
like Arokenimon and Mummymon.
We have to defeat Ken. We have to defeat Arokenimon and Mummymon.
And they're like present in the episodes. Yeah. Like, even if they're not the ones doing the fighting, they're there in the episode.
We have to stop Black War Greymon.
It feels more grounded and less. Season one, it feels like they're like lazily trying to create mystery by just like not telling you stuff. Where season two, there's
season
like.
Season one is like a journey to get back home.
Yeah.
A journey to, like, get back to the state of normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, growing and learning about yourself and developing a friendship with the Digimon. And then season two is maintaining that friendship with the Digimon, but also now it's more of a, it's not quite an isekai anime, because they're not trapped in a
they're fighting land. For something.
They are freely moving in between their world and the digital world.
Yeah.
And that I think is making it more, I think that this is a more grand tale than the first adventure.
I think so too.
I think that it's, when it hits, it hits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like all the stuff with Ken and Wormmon that hit, Black War Greymon.
Mm-hmm. Any of those would have been good enough to be like a finale. And we got all of them in one season. Like, yeah. like you could have had a season culminating in the Ken and Wormmon stuff, or in the Black War Greymon stuff, mm-hmm. or in the Mala Myotismon stuff. But then we got all of those peaks.
Yeah, I do think that the Oikawa Dark Spore narrative is rushed.
I think it's hard for me to feel that way because we took so long to watch it, but I think I agree with you. It
doesn't feel like the Dark Masters, where it's over so quickly.
Yeah.
But it feels like we are, I think what is interesting about it is that we meet Oikawa before the Digimon World Tour.
Yeah.
And then they leave Japan to go on this world tour, which is kind of stopping Oikawa's plan of, like, you know, shifting the border of the digital world or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so obvious, glaringly so, that something's up in Japan.
Yeah.
Like, so we had said previously that we wished that June had become kind of, this is where June became a Digidestined.
Right.
And what would have almost been interesting is that, like, okay, now it's Joe and June, or not Joe, Jim and June.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's brother, are like, kind of tailing Arukenimon and Mamimon. Here's how we save them. Okay? They are Joe and June's partners. Or Jim and June's partners.
Oh, damn.
Because I was like, oh, who's a brash, kind of obnoxious woman?
June. Oh, my God. You're so right.
So, or even if we don't want to do that, and we want to keep them still dying at the end, which is sad, but okay. I think that let's have Nancy be on the tail of Oikawa.
That would be interesting.
Let's have the parents be more active again.
Yeah.
Because we've kind of seen that Izzy's mom says that all of the other parents are helping with their special skills, and she wants to help too. So I think that it's just a really tight narrative. It's really great. I mean, we're like we've said in the past that we're going to come back with we're going to do a tier list like how we did last time.
We will, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the tier list will be about. We might rank all the characters. Maybe we'll rank all the different armor and digivolutions that we see.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll rank everybody's digivolutions.
Yeah, I think all the new characters, basically.
We rank all the new characters. I think that we're going to watch the movie. We're going to find it online somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I do want to watch the re-release of the movie. But I also want to watch the dub of the three movies that make up the movie. But we will watch that on our own time, for the podcast.
Okay.
And then after we watch the movie, we're going to record a podcast about it. And then we will start Digimon Tamers.
Hell yeah.
So do you have any other thoughts about Digimon Adventure 02?
just, you know, like you said, I really enjoyed watching this with you and talking about it with you, and I really appreciate the journey that you have now helped take me on and that we are able to share. And I hope you had a happy birthday and that I love you.
Gay? I... Oh, please. That's what R. Kelly was saying.
What did Kari say when she realized it was an illusion? Huh, what nerve? It, like, zoomed in on her altar.
She said, the nerve.
The nerve! And I'm like, that's so funny. I was like, she's using her Karening powers for good.
The cheek, the gall, the audacity, and the gumption.
Kari is short for Karen.
Oh my god. Well, I love you, too. And I love you guys out there listening. I really appreciate being tagged and stuff on Twitter, and I appreciate that people are patiently waiting for our episodes, even though our uploading schedule has been so sporadic.
Yeah.
We're busy adults, and I know that people out there listening are busy adults, too, so taking the time to listen to us talk about a show from the 90s is crazy to me, but I'm glad that
it's very special people to me.
All over the world are along for our ride, and we're not stopping this train until we're done.
Yeah, baby. So we hope you'll join us for the next one.
So we'll join us for our tier list episode, and then you'll join us for the movie, and then you will join us when we start Digimon Tamers.
Yay!
I think you're really gonna like Tamers.
I think so too. So, I have a good feeling about it.
I've been Adam.
I've been Michael.
And
if you meet a creepy man who offers you a dark spore, don't take it. Yeah. Word of advice.
And Sparking Strike!
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.